Welcome to the Lioness Queen podcast, where our motto is all about living residue-free, not allowing the residue from a negative event in your life hinder you from moving forward where God is leading and directing you. Your host, Reverend Dr. Marisha, founder, speaker, author, divorce coach, and licensed minister, provides motivating messages that will help encourage and empower women to live their best life beyond their past and recognize the worth of their crown. Now let's jump into your weekly dose of letting go of the past and living totally residue-free. Here's your host, Reverend Dr. Marisha.
Welcome back, my Lioness Queens. Today is August the 10th. The second Thursday in the month of August. Happy August. Happy Thursday. Happy summer slash fall. Happy New Year 2023. We are vastly approaching the fall season, y'all. I cannot believe it. How did this all happen? I tell you, sometimes I think the older I get, the faster time goes by, right? I know I'm not the only one, but man, I feel like we just started the new year, but we are embracing this shift in the atmosphere, and it's time for a new season. The season of fall is coming, whether you are ready for it or not. It's coming. It is coming like a thief in the night, and it's almost time for the kids to go back to school. And sadly, I hate to say it, some kids are already back in school, but as season shifts, we have to adapt to the shift. Amen. Again, thank you so much for all of your support of the Lioness Queen podcast. I cannot thank you enough for all of your support. Please subscribe to this podcast and our YouTube channel. And if you want to find out more what's happening new in the ministry, you can visit us at www.iamthelionessqueen.com. Well, all right, we are. I can't believe it, y'all. We are in a new month of August. And this month's theme is called, Why Are You Holding On to What They Said? Right? Why are you holding on to what they said? Well, before we get started, you know how we love doing it on this podcast. We love starting out with a quote or a poem to get our episode started. We love supporting other poets' creativity, and we are so honored to do so. So today I'm going to read a short poem by Julie Herbert, and she wrote this poem in 2015. The title of the poem is called Don't Let People. That's right. Don't let people. So the poem says, our lives are full of negative thoughts, not just from you or me, but many people around us. I'm sure you will agree. That man at the grocery store who doesn't like his job, that lady down the street from us who acts like a snob, your relative who calls you every day with nothing but complaints, the driver in the car in front who drives nothing like a saint. There are lots of people here and there that let off a negative vibe. Keep them far from your good vibes. That is what I would prescribe. Surround yourself with positivity in what you do each day, and soon you see the strength you have to keep negativity away. Yes. Thank you, Miss Julie, for this powerful, powerful poem. Because we can get stuck on people, especially people who do not matter in our lives. Remember last month we talked about get off of the street you stuck on, right? We can get stuck on people that really don't matter. You know, and as Miss Julie said, we get frustrated with the people at the grocery store. We get frustrated with people at Walmart who don't like their job, or, you know, even when you go to the doctor's office, you got people sitting in the front as secretaries. They don't like their job. They don't like where they are in life. We get frustrated with people at work when many people really don't care about the job, or, you know, for them, it's really just a paycheck. So why is it important for me to finish really on time? You know, why is it important for me to work together as a team? Why is it important for me to speak to you in the morning? Right? We're not friends. I don't have to speak to you. Right? When people's lives aren't going well or the way they really wanted to go, you know, they're going to be themselves. And why do we spend time and effort and energy on people that really don't matter? Why do we get frustrated with the person who cut us off, right? Somebody cut you off this morning while you were driving to work because they thought that you were in their way. I mean, in times like these, we can't get frustrated over people that don't matter. Say that to yourself. I will not get frustrated over people that do not matter. And the Bible talks about, you know, how in these last days, people will be easily offended. And in Matthew 24, it talks about the signs of the times and the end of the age. And specifically in verse 9, in Matthew 24, verse 9, it talks about how people will easily, they'll be offended. They'll, you know, and they will betray one another and hate one another. And this is what we are seeing in the land today. These are the end. This is the end of times, right? And people are easily offended. And if you think about it, you yourself, right? I'm going to include myself. I have been easily offended. And the question is why? Right? Especially when it comes to people who really don't matter. And so, but the Bible talks about all of these things unfolding. And when we're offended, if you think about it, right? We hold things in our mind that we should not be holding on to, especially the things that people spoke into our life. And so now it's easily to, I would say, let go of things people said who are not close to you, who are not in your family. You may have only met them once or twice, right? You can possibly easy bounce those things off. You may, you know, be offended in the beginning, but then you don't really hold on to that information as long as you do compared to somebody who's close to you, especially an authority figure in your life, right? Like a parent, a guardian, a godparent, a sibling, aunt, uncle, grandparent, or even someone in your community, right? A community leader could be a teacher, a mentor, a pastor, a coach, right? Definitely somebody who's older than you. And so all of these individuals are close to you in some regard, and you take what they say to heart. And on the flip side of it, you hold on to what they said because they mean something in your life. You respect them in some type of way. And I mean, this is what, if you think about it, this is what children do, right? Children learn from their elders. And as they learn, they take heart the information that is received as truth. Even if they don't like it, even if it is not the truth, even if it is hurtful, even if it's negative, children will hold on to it and carry it for a long time. And this is one of the reasons why people say verbal abuse is worse than physical abuse. Although both are unhealthy, both are toxic. But guess what? Physical wounds heal. Negativity and negative words that were spoken in your life, your brain holds on to that information as truth. It holds on to that information as if you will use it again for something else, right? And so this is what we're talking about today. You know, why are you holding on to what people said to you, right? What? And so my question is, what are you holding on to? you know, and research shows, and they say this is the reason, and research shows that our brains evolved to react much more strongly to negative experiences than positive ones. It does have a mechanism that helps us to protect us from danger, and it keeps us safe, right? But in modern days, where physical danger is minimal, it often just gets in the way. And this is what we call negativity bias. And we've talked about this before, this negativity bias, right? And, you know, it is where our minds focus more on the negative experiences than the positive ones. And what we fail to forget is that people may make negative comments to project their own insecurities or feelings onto others or to you, right? And by making these, you know, negative comments, they feel like they're deflecting attention away from their flaws. And when you do not have all your stuff together, it's easy to speak negativity into someone else's life to deflect, right? Because they don't want people to know their flaws, see their mistakes, and or like really realize that they may not be who they say they are. And I know you know somebody like that. We all know somebody like that, you know? And I must say, you know, working in a high school, there's so many young people, unfortunately, I have to say, that do not have good relationship with their parents. Because guess what? Their parents didn't have good relationships with their parents. And they talk bad about their parents. And 9 times out of 10, like I said, that they didn't have a good relationship with their parents. And so the cycle repeats itself. And they don't really have the skill set. They don't really have the toolbox really to parent, because there was no blueprint for them to follow. And as a result, you know, they can be toxic, negative, abusive, demeaning, and just downright mean, right? When you don't have a blueprint of, and I would say the basic, because you don't get a roadmap when you are a parent, right? You don't get that. But the blueprint, right, really should be love. That is what the blueprint should be. But sadly enough, a lot of children do not receive love. And it's nothing that a child has done, but the parent portrays something that they're not. But I have to say, and I always say this to kids, the older that they get, right? It doesn't work, right? What they're deflecting doesn't work. And children realize that the older that they are, they become smarter, they see more, and, you know, they realize the disconnect from what their parents are saying from their actions. And as we get older, we've seen it in our parents, right? We've seen it. But it doesn't mean that the child doesn't hold on to those words in their mindset. Because they do. Even if they know the negativity isn't true, even if they know the negativity their parents are speaking over them doesn't line up, right? And they've seen it doesn't line up, they still hold on to it like a broken record. And I know some of you have held on to some things. Your parents have spoken over your life negativity. I'm trying to get that word out in a negative way, right? Like a broken record, and you keep playing it in your head. And so this is getting good, y'all. This is getting good. But we got to take a quick break and hear from our sponsor, and we'll be right back to learn how do we let go of the negativity others spoke into our lives. We'll be right back.
Do you love music and always wanted to learn how to play an instrument or sing? Check out Waldorf Music Academy, which is Southern Maryland's best music school, teaching students from ages 4 to adult. Whatever instrument you or your child wish to play, odds are they teach it. Piano, electric and acoustic guitar, drums, bass and voice, and host of others. For more information, visit www.waldorfmusicacademy.com.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Yes, we were talking about, you know, how children hold on to things their authority figures have spoken in their lives, and they hold on to those things and they play it like a broken record over and over. And so my question is, who was it for you? Right? Because that's key. Going back and remembering when the seed was planted, who planted the seed in your mindset. And once you can recognize it, then you have the ability of a starting point to work through to let that thing go. Say that to yourself, I am going to let it go. Amen. So let's dig a little bit deeper, right? And so you have to think about, when I was thinking about this, we got to really think about, what are your thinking habits? And when God gave that to me, I was like, wow, I never really thought about my thinking habits, right? You know, in life, there are habits we have, right? And we have developed them. Some are good, some are bad, some are indifferent that we do. Habits are something that we do not really think about, but it involves small decisions that you made and actions you perform every day automatically. Habits are automatically, right? And so I was looking at this according to Duke University. They say habits account for about 40% of our behavior on any given day. So really finding out what type of thinking habits you have is critical to know how to address it, right? And now you may think that, you know, when I was thinking about this, I was like, well, what's the difference between a habit and a routine? And so they are different, but you may think they're the same. But habits are something you do subconsciously, right? It's an automatic thing. It's something you don't have to think about. But routines are something you do that require a conscious effort. It requires you to be intentional. I'm going to give you an example. I decided to work out. I do have, and that is my routine. There's certain days that I work out. It is not automatic for me. I have to be very intentional, and it is a conscious effort because I don't want to do it, right? And so that's how I know the difference. Habits are subconscious automatically, but routine, you got to be intentional. Now here is the question for you. What are your good thinking habits? Ooh, when Daddy dropped that one, I was like, what are my good thinking habits? And so the question is, do you know? Well, I'm going to tell you, this whole month, we're going to be talking about addressing what you're holding on to and addressing these thinking habits. Amen. And so the first thinking habit involves persistence. You have to be determined to follow through and focus on thinking like God thinks, right? And I truly believe that it is easy to say the cliche, right? There's a cliche that people often say, what would Jesus do? But the question is, what would Jesus think about in this situation, right? And with persistence, there is a strategy. So my question is, what is your strategy for the things you are holding on to in your mind that are causing you to not be all you can be, that are causing you to not step up and take that leap of faith, that is causing you to shrink back and not believe beyond what you see, that is causing you to believe more in your past than in your future, that is causing you to become consumed with what somebody said versus what God has promised in your life, right? And so you have to have what I want to call a plan of action. You got to have a plan of attack when letting go and releasing the painful things that you are holding on to. You have to have a plan of attack when you are allowing those words to consume you and you cannot focus on anything else. I know I'm not the only one who've experienced this, because guess what? I'm going to tell you what's something that can easily fit in this category, and that is a bill you don't have the money to pay. A bill you don't have the money to pay will consume you. You won't be able to focus on anything else because you are consistently thinking about that bill. I'm giving a very easy example, but this is what our mindset does. You have to have a plan of attack to defeat the enemy in your mind, especially since our minds have this negativity bias, right? That focus more on the negative experiences than the positive one. That one we already know is out of the bank. And so the plan of attack should be you being persistent in telling the enemy, no vacancy here. You got to tell them, no vacancy in my mind, devil. I have talked about this before. I've talked about the squatter before, because the enemy is like a squatter. You know, he is a thief. He is a liar. He is the chief deceiver. That is the only skill set that the enemy has, is to deceive you. But he wants to take residence in your mindset, which is why you hold on to things that people have said to you. And I know research says one thing, but the enemy comes, we know this, to steal, kill, and destroy. And the only way he can do that is to be a squatter in your mind. Or now, you give him a key to your mind and you give him residence. And this is where you have to, I'm going to say this, you have to be persistent and telling the enemy, no more vacancy. Amen. And so you can't live. You got to tell the devil, no, you can't live in my mind anymore. You think this is, I'm going to tell you, you think that it's going to take a lot. It's going, you tell the enemy straight up, you cannot live in my mind anymore. I need you to stop trying to bring a bed in here, a sofa, a dining room table. Stop trying to hang your clothes up in the closet, because you got to go. This is the first step to letting go of holding on to what people said. It is the enemy. It is the enemy that is guiding the whole conversation, adding things, right? So your father said something to you 20, 30 years ago, but because you let him take residence in your mind, that conversation has turned into a 3-chapter book. And in that 3-chapter book, none of those things is what your dad said. You adding things in a way that skews what was initially said. Now, was it hurtful? Probably yes. Was it painful? Probably yes. Was it demeaning? Probably yes. All of those things are facts, right? But the things that you added to the story, that is how you know the enemy has taken residence and changed the whole story from what was initially said. And all of that, and you're holding on to these lies that aren't true. Amen. And so now it's time to be persistent. Say that to yourself. Now it's time to be persistent, right? And you have to tell the enemy, no vacancy. Say that again. No vacancy. Man, where did the time go? This was getting good, y'all. This was getting good. Of course, we're going to have a part 2, because we have some more thinking habits that we need to learn. And we need to learn so that we can walk in freedom. We have to tell the enemy no vacancy here in our mindset. We have to be persistent in getting him out of our mind, because you and I, we have access. We have keys to the kingdom of heaven, you know. And I think what's interesting is that we're not in heaven, but we have access to heaven, right? We have access here on earth to have access to freedom, access to abundance, access to total healing, right? Matthew 16, 19 says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. We bind up the enemy right now, trying to stage camp in your mindset. Ooh, he's trying to stage a camp and trying to have his little fire pit. No, devil. We're giving you an eviction notice right now in the name of Jesus. And so when the enemy knocks, because he's on assignment, he's trying to stop the call on your life. He's trying to stop the purpose on your life. He's trying to stop what God is trying to do in your life. And so he will knock, right? That is something that he will do, right? So when he knocks, we are not going to let him in. We will not open the door. We won't even crack the door to see what you're doing, who's here. No, we're not opening the door so he can bring his furniture and live up in our mindset. No. And tries to do an extended stay option. No vacancy here. Amen. So thinking habit number one, in order to help stop what we're holding on to from what people said or spoke over us, is we got to be persistent in keeping the enemy out of our thoughts. That is where we start. And so, we're going to get more into this next week. Man, I can't wait. I can't wait. I definitely could not have made it without all of your support of the Lioness Queen podcast. Remember to subscribe this podcast and share a review. I would absolutely love to hear from you. Until next time, let's all live residue free in 2023 and walk in everything God has destined for you to be. Amen. Amen.